Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky, and I entitled tonight's Dvar Torah, Is Anyone Responsible for Esav? And what I mean by that is a very simple one. We know that the way children are brought up sometimes shapes their personality, shapes their characteristics, and the way the stimulus that they get, the experiences they get as a child, which are given to them by their parents. So the first thing I wanted to mention is it's very interesting. We see the difference between the other Avos as opposed to Yaakov and Esav being brought up simultaneously. Yishmael did tshuva at the end of his life, and he also had the first 13 years of his life. He was brought up as an only child before Yitzchak was born. So Avraham had a chance to, even though Hagar brought him up not properly as Sarah would have, I mean, she obviously did not have any much doing with the Yishmael, but Avraham certainly did early on, and he did influence him to a certain degree, and perhaps that was the cause of his doing tshuva later on in his life. Of course, it was a little bit too little too late. As far as Yaakov putting all his eggs in the basket of Yosef, which is a mistake which led to a lot of hatred among the brothers, but the fact remains that at least Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda had a few years of upbringing before Yosef was born. There was a seven-year difference between Reuven and Yosef, and so they at least had some being brought up by Leah, Imenu, and Yaakov, Avinu, which certainly shaped their lives in terms of being good people. The difference between Yaakov and Esav, since they were twins, both parents couldn't give them equal attention simultaneously, certainly not. One had to deal with one and one had to deal with the other. And it's very interesting with the fact that is we see that Rivka liked Yaakov, but that wasn't necessarily because when they were little young children that she would have had any favoritism for Yaakov or Esav. They were both her children that she had. But the reality is, it says, Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bivitneach. God had told her in her vision that she would have two children. And that they would both grow up to be great people. However, Varav Yavot Soir, and the elder will serve the younger. And which certainly goes against the grain, because in all the history up to this point, the eldest child was always in charge and would be, and this goes against the grain, which certainly would thicken the craw, so to speak, of Esav later on. But the fact remains that since God told her that Yaakov would be the one, and Vayisrotetzu Habonim B'Kirbah, Vatomer Loim Kain, I don't remember if I said this last year, but the Arba Bedel makes a very interesting point, and he says, what does it mean, Lomoze Onochi? It means that if I have so much pain while I'm, you know, they're fighting inside the womb, I'm in such pain, and Yitzchak, who is going to be the father, he's not suffering, not that she wishes the suffering on him, but she felt that there was no equality here in terms of the Tzar Leda. Obviously, which we know, the women have to obviously bear the brunt of it, certainly. But the point is, she was perplexed by the whole thing that she finally, Yitzchak prayed for her to have her children, and Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto, because he knew it couldn't be his problem, because he was an Ola Tamima, so he was perfection from God, because he was that Ola, therefore it couldn't be his problem. That was his take on the matter. So he prayed for her, not for himself, and so she finally has two children. But it tells us one very interesting thing that is a very enlightening thought process. It says, Vihine somim bivitna. Now, we take that to mean, when we translate it, it says that she had twins. But the fact remains that the word ite'omim is twins. And so the Mefarshim certainly get into the point that it was spelled without an aleph. But what one of the Mefarshim says, very interestingly enough, when it says Vihine somim bivitna, it is on purpose that the Aleph is not there. And of course it's on purpose, but that it doesn't mean necessarily that they're twins. Obviously they were twins, but the point is, the message is other than that. And the message is that while they were in the womb, they were totally formed in terms of character traits and personalities, which means that Esav would always be Esav. And we see when it says Ela Toldos Noach, Noach is Tzadik, it says Tomim Hoya B'dorosav, he was complete. He was not necessarily a good person, but he was complete. And here, the same thing. Yaakov was complete, that he was Yoshev O'alim. That's what he would be. And Esav would turn out to be Esav while he was in the womb. And that's why, Vayitzro Tzu Habonim B'kirba. And when she finally gave birth, Vayetzei Horishon Admoni Kulo Kader Seyar. And when it says, V'yachrei Shein Yotzoachiv Yodo Ochezes V'akev Esav, and he was holding on, Yaakov was holding on to his heel. What is the symbolism of his holding on to his heel? And we know that's why he was called Yaakov. But the fact remains that Yaakov tried early on, even in the womb, while they were totally formed in terms of what they would be in the future. The fact is, Yaakov already knew was trying to fight with Esav to do something with him better, not so much to keep him from coming out first, because it says, V'rav yavot zoir, so Yaakov would have to be the second one. No, I'm sorry, for some reason the phone went off. I didn't touch it, but nevertheless. So we see that Esav has been formed fully in the womb. And now that he comes out, it says, V'yigalu hana'orim, V'yihi Esav ish yodei atzayit ish sodev Yaakov ish tom yoshev olim. And of course, later on, we know at the end of the parasha, we get this whole story as children that Yitzchak was fooled and Yaakov was able to get the bracha. But the truth of the matter is, was Yitzchak really fooled? And we see from all the things that are pointing to the fact that he wasn't necessarily fooled. And the problem was, initially right away, when it says, V'Yaakov ishtom yoshev ohalim, Yaakov was always home. He was sitting and learning very nicely. Yitzchak and Rivka both were able to see Yaakov on a daily basis, and they saw what he was doing. He was being a very studious child. Yitzchak did not get a chance to get a handle on Yitzchak. He didn't know, and that's what the words are so important in the Chumash. It says, V'yesav yodei atzayit ish sodeh. He got up in the morning, and he was out of the house. Seriously. He was gone, and his father never had a handle on him, never got to see what he was doing. So he didn't see what Esav was doing. He didn't necessarily know what Esav was doing. And you want to think the best of your child. Maybe he's thinking that he's doing business or whatever it is, and he's being successful. The question we might have, why was so Esav later on so concerned with the brachas? And that we'll get to in a few minutes. But I find that very interesting as well. But the point is that we see all of these things developing, that Esav is already becoming Esav. And now, as what we've said before, that when it says Vayivez Esav as HaBechora, when Yaakov takes the Bechora from him, this is not so much to be cunning Yaakov, but he's trying to test, since also Yaakov, while he knows Esav to a certain degree, does, since Esav is not around, he doesn't get to see what he's really up to. But of course, he has his suspicions. When Esav comes back, Vayavo Esav min Asodev Hu Oyev, and he suspects exactly what's going on. He says, Michroch hayom es bechora tcholi, sell me your bechora. That is merely but basically, he wants to see, this will tell him greatly, do you want the father's bracha? In other words, if you're frum, your father's brachas will mean a lot to you and you wouldn't want to sell it. But if you're only interested in your pursuits, that you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, you're killing and stealing and doing all sorts of mayhem in the world, then you're not interested in the bracha, you could see. So the trouble is, at this point in time, if we see that's what's happening, then why would Esav be so concerned about his father's blessing at the end? If this is what he is, he knows, Vayivez Esav es HaBechorah, he knows he sold it to Yaakov. Not that he even thinks that it means anything, but if he takes it so casually and so lightly, why in fact would he be so angry that he wants his father's bracha in the end? So let us get to the middle of the parasha, which tells us so much. When it says, Vayhi ra'ov ba'aretz, and so on and so forth. Now we have to take it into account. We don't even mention it over here. But when they go down to Gerar and God tells Yitzchak to not go to Eretz Mitzrayim as his father did. And Yitzchak is having this test and he stays in Gerar. And then we have to imagine that Yaakov and Esav are with them at the time and they come down. And when Rivka says that she's his wife, Yitzchak is not his wife, it's his sister. She's Yitzchak's sister. So what are they doing with the two children? So there is that thought process over here that a man and woman are coming down with two children. But when it says, but Avimelech suspected something when he sees Vinei Yitzchak Mitzachek, he realized this relationship is not a brother and sister. But when we go beyond that, what is happening subsequently to all this? There is that problem with the wells. There is always this fighting between them from one well after another. And it says, what is the point of saying after the death of Avraham? Because Avimelech previously, in a couple of sedras ago in Vayera, had made promises, in the Chayesorah, made promises to Avraham about the wells. They made a deal and that they would not fade anyone, and so on and so forth. But the fact remains, all of this was in terms of what Avimelech is thinking with Fichol. It mentions again, Fichol Sar Tzvao, that he is protesting. Obviously, he does know about it, but he protests that he doesn't know anything, that he doesn't even say, but it's a test to see. He's thinking, when Avraham is now gone, I can test Yitzchak. Is God with Yitzchak the same he was with Avraham? Obviously, anything that Avraham tests, as both Paro and Avimelech said previously, obviously God is on his side. But Avimelech does not know, or he's uncertain. He wants to see if God is on the same side as the Yitzchak. Will Yitzchak be as successful and fruitful and multiply the same as Avraham was, that all his, so to speak, investments come to fruition, are all successful? And he sees, when he sees that it is, at this point in time, he wants to make a success out of it, and he wants to make a deal with Yitzchak. But Yitzchak knows already, understanding what happened to the peace treaty that they made before with Abraham. He says, "We have tems and they say, Mosi, you have shown your true colors. You can't tell me in Vayera when he says, when they had the fight over the wells with Avraham, the same thing previously, and he says, he's talking to Pichol Sar Tzvao, you didn't tell me. He pawns it off on his chief, his first officer, and he tries to pawn it off. Obviously, we know that's a lie. But nevertheless, he's trying to make acts silly. And we see that all the time, that they, you know, Vayisatmum pushed him. Why would they fill it in with dirt? Because the same thing that we see the Arabs in Israel. We gave them back the Gaza Strip. We gave it to them fully with crops and various things, with hot houses. And the first thing they did was destroy it, and then they claim it's still theirs. I mean, they don't want to do anything. But that's getting away from the fact is over here. We're getting back to Esau. And the point is, it says, Vayelech with Yitzchak, Vayelech holoch v'godel. Esav has worked hard, so to speak, even though he had to, as we like to use the expression, rape, pillage, and plunder. He has done all these averis, as Chazal tell us, and he's been successful, but he's had to do all these things. And yet he sees, what does he see? That his father sits back, doesn't do a whole lot, but his father is very successful. And he thought the road to success would be might is right. And therefore, when he steals and kills and he attains a great amount of property or wealth or whatever his standing is in society, and he's witness to this, and yet his father doesn't have to go through all of these things. His father's a tzaddik, and yet he still gets very rich. Now, subsequently, he's feeling the idea that possibly it's not such a bad idea that my father should give me this blessing, and the blessing of my father will help me greatly in my future endeavors, so to speak. And at this point, he realizes this. But the question is, at this point in time, when Rivka says, as big day of Esav Hachamudos, the question is, why did every, as we've mentioned before many times, even when you do the right thing, there are consequences. And the consequences are that Esav will never forget. But the fact remains, and we see the aftermath of all these things, and we see the trouble. So who is responsible for Esav? It's hard to put a finger on. But the fact is, when we see at the end of the parasha, when they have to run away, it's a difference between what exactly happens at the end. What do we see after Yaakov takes the bracha away? He gets in there first. It's a very interesting sequence of events. Why is Yitzhak actually fooled? Why do we assume that he was fooled? He says, HaKol Kol Yaakov, V'hayodayim Yidei Esav. So in fact, he knows full well that the voice, the use of language, that when Yaakov answers him, Mazemi Artolim Sobani, and Yaakov says, Ki Hikra Hashem Elokecha, God help me get this food very fast, because we have to remember, he sends Esav out to kill two animals, skin them, cook them, and suddenly, very quickly, Yaakov appears with all the food ready, certainly wearing Esav's clothes as the ruse goes along. But the reality is, he doesn't understand that Esav could have done all this so quickly. Mazemi Hartholim Sobani, how could it be possible that you've accomplished so much in such a short period of time? And Yaakov answers, trying to act like Esav, and he says, Ki Yikra Hashem Elokecha. That certainly makes Yitzchak wonder, HaKol Kol Yaakov, would Esav say something like this? But perhaps he thinks at this moment in time that since Esav was willing to do when he sent Esav to get his bracha, he saw that Esav wanted the bracha because he didn't say to his father, forget it. I don't care about your brachas. They don't concern me in any way, shape, or form. He didn't say that. So he thinks maybe, possibly, that Esav is having a change of heart on some level. But of course, we see when previous to the brachas, why does Yitzchak choose this time to give him the brachas? For the simple reason that Chazal tell us, because they're wondering the same thing, we might say that within 5 years of a parent's passing, you begin to think that possibly your life is over. And of course, his father lived many more years. Yitzchak was only 127 years old at this point in time in his life. He had many more years to go, but his mother died at that age, and therefore he was concerned that if he's within 5 years of his mother's death, he's also concerned, Lo yodati yomosi, I might not know when I will leave this world. But more than that, he sees when it says, Vatiyena moras ruach li Yitzchak ulirivka. What does that tell us? And that Yitzchak is beginning to really see what Esav is like. And that's when he figures that till now I haven't sat down to talk to him. But possibly now, Vatiyena moras ruach, they were both very upset that not only Rivka, but Yitzchak was upset with Esav as well. So he's not truly fooled at all with Esav. But he figures at this point in time, maybe I need to give him a bracha now because he's gone beyond what I want him to do. And I could see that he got married at 40. He thinks that I got married at 40, so he'll get married at 40. But the fact is, but he went to Benos Chet. And when he took B'nai Ches, so that upset the Vatiyena Moras Ruach. And at that point in time, it says, Vatechena Einov Meraos. Not that he couldn't see, because when Avraham gets old, and it says, Vayihi Kizokein Avraham, and it says, Lo Yuchal Liros, he could not see. But by Yitzchak, it doesn't use that language. The language used is, Vatechena Einov Meraos. His eyes grew dim from seeing. He saw too much. He didn't want to see anymore. And therefore, he had enough, and he was hoping that the only way he could straighten out his son Esav is by giving him the bracha. And when Esav comes back and says, Ki Hikra Hashem Elokecha, that God helped me do all of this so quickly, he thought perhaps if actually God helped him, then this is a turning point in Esav's life. But of course, he realizes the folly of his thought process after Yaakov pulls the wool over his eyes, and Esav comes running in, and he says, "Havaracha achasi lecha avi." And what is Yitzchak's reaction? He doesn't stand up to Yaakov. He says, "Bo achicha bir mimo, your brother snuck in here. Vayikach bir chasecha." Do you think that if he was trying to calm things a little bit, Yitzchak, this is what his reaction should have been? Of course, he's caught off guard. But the reality is, he's throwing Yaakov under the bus, isn't he? But I think he's totally shocked at this point. He realizes that he has been played for a fool, but much more than that. He knows that God has let him be played for a fool. And that's what disturbs him more than anything. And Vayitzak Yitzchak Gedolah, he was saying, what did I ever do to deserve this? Not that he was afraid of Esav, certainly not. But that's why the language used at the end of the parasha is a very interesting one. When Rivka takes notice of the situation as it unfolded, she says, "V'kum barach lecha el Lavan achi charona," come run away to Lavan. And Yitzchak's response is, "Kum lech padena aram." Does Yitzchak say, "Go to Lavan"? Yitzchak says, "Beisa b'suel achi mecha," go to the house of Suel. Notice that Yitzchak does not say to Lavan, he says go to Suel, because Rivka, when he married Rivka, she came from the house of Suel. Lavan was a non-entity in terms of being somebody of note at this point in time, but Rivka was more aware of her brother. And if he's running away from Esav, that Lavan will be much more able to shield Yaakov from Lavan. He was younger and stronger, whereas Bethuel was an older man and would not be able to physically protect Yaakov. And so there's a difference of thought, where Rivka was more afraid, and therefore she told Yaakov to run away. But Yitzchak tells his son he's not afraid of Yaakov dying, but he's afraid, he says, perhaps it's time for you to get married, and the way to do it is to go to Bethuel, because that's where your mother came from as well, and that's where Sarah came from as well. And that's how the parasha ends, and that's where we see the difference of Barach Lecha and Kum Lech, the difference between Rivka and Yitzchak. But the fact remains that Rivka took care of Yaakov. She shone her countenance. She favored Yaakov. Obviously, we know that. But Yitzchak could not give the same amount of time to Yaakov and Esav in their formative years because they were twins. You had to spend your time with one or the other. Yaakov, he saw, did not need the kind of attention that Esav did, because he was obviously a very studious child and a very good child. And if he learned with him, he understood. But Esav was ish sodeh. He was never home. And Yitzchak did not have the opportunity. So whose fault? Who was responsible for Esav? Of course, Esav was responsible for himself, the same way Yaakov was responsible for himself. And we see that the type of person, because when he's confronted by the fact that he took the bracha, he could have very easily said, "I just did what mommy told me to do. I completed this ruse because I did. Mommy told me to put on Esav's clothes and fix the dinner and did everything. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't want to do it. I said, Pen, you know, my Ulayi Musheni Avi, I'm hoping I'll be caught in a lie." He did not say that. Yaakov was a man who took responsibility. Esav was a man who took no responsibility. Yitzchak understood that at the very end when he said, "Vayagveni zeh pa'amoyim." That's when Yitzchak comes to the realization fully, what do you mean pa'amoyim? When was the first time? And that's when the story comes out that Yitzchak finds out that Esav sold the Bechorah, and Yitzchak says to Yaakov, "Kum lech padena aram." Now it's time for you to leave, not to run away. but to leave, because this was obviously meant to be. And Yaakov has the not only the book smarts that he's a tzaddik, but he also has the street smarts that he went through with it, and he stole the Bechorah even without Rivka telling him to fool his father with the brachas now, that many years before, when they were 15, he bought the Bechorah from Esau, and when that comes to fruition, he realizes the full import of the whole scenario, the whole situation, and he says to Yaakov, you've done well, and now it's time for you to get married. You have been formally, you have fully completed your schooling and upbringing, and now it's time for you to get a wife as well. Same as I got my wife after Storah died and after I finished the Akedah, as we said last week, and now he passed his final test, and now Yaakov passes the test, and he is ready. He's responsible enough to start a family of his own. Have a good week.